For CJLO News, I'm Serena Abuljud. This morning, Al Sumud encampment in Square Victoria was dismantled by the police. The raid began at 4 a.m. and led to the arrest of an 18-year-old protester. Protester Emma Jobert stated that the police displayed multiple acts of violence, such as hitting and throwing members of the encampment on the ground. She also said that the police told them they would get a chance to retrieve their belongings from the camp, but then also proceeded to damage their stuff and kick their tents. That being said, the president of McGill University, Deep Saini, called the raid an encouraging sign that the SPVM will approach the encampment set up in the McGill Lower Field. This Thursday, the Montreal Fire Service said that inspectors were denied access to the McGill camp and therefore were not able to conduct a safety check. The fire department said that they will attempt to reach out to the encampment members a second time so they can come to an agreement on when they could inspect. On Wednesday, pro-Palestine protesters rallied outside Hôtel Place d'Armes, where a Liberal Party fundraiser event featuring Justin Trudeau was taking place. The Palestinian youth movement in Montreal was demanding an immediate arms embargo and an end to Canada's complicity in Israel's crimes against Palestinians. Videos of police pushing protesters were circulating on social media. Cops used tear gas to disperse the crowd of protesters as well as pepper spray. Police claimed that they intervened after protesters tried to block Trudeau from leaving the fundraiser. However, no arrests were made that day. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the Tommy John Show on a very hot and sunny Monday, July the 8th is our first show since, mid-June because of all the holidays we've had. We had Saint Jean Baptiste and Canada Day the last two Mondays, so we were not on the air, but we are back now for the foreseeable future here on Mondays at 2 to 3 p.m. on CJLO 1690 a.m., where we discuss everything going on in the world of sports. If this is your first time listening, I am Tommy Lane. And we got a jam-packed hour here on the Tommy John Show. Not only do we have huge news in the world of soccer with Canada in the semifinals of Copa America and the Final Four of the Euro Cup, but we also have big basketball and hockey news to discuss, as well as training camp in the NFL being less than a month away now. We are in July, and teams will start reporting in 3 or so weeks. So we will get into that over the next hour here on the Tommy John Show. So why don't we start, like we always do, with a quick recap of the past week in the world of sports. And why don't we start off with the Copa America. Canada into the semifinals after a quarterfinal penalties win over Venezuela. They had the 1-0 lead. They have that boneheaded play in the second half to allow Venezuela to tie it. but they force it to penalties, and Canada advances to the semifinals. And their reward is getting the defending champions and the World Cup champions, Argentina. So it's going to be interesting. They played them already, the first game of the tournament in Atlanta a few weeks ago. They played them tough for a half, but then the floodgates started to open in the second half. But Jesse Marsh and everyone with Team Canada said, you know what, they're going to try and focus on giving it all they have. They have nothing to lose. And which is right. No one expected Canada to be here. Everyone knew Argentina would be here. They have all the pressure. They can't lose to Canada. So Canada's going in there a bit free and loose. But yet again, Argentina has been on the biggest stage forever now. Like I said, they won the last Copa America. They've won the last World Cup. They're in a good spot. So I can't wait for that. The other quarter finals this weekend, like we mentioned, Argentina got by Ecuador, Uruguay over Brazil, and Colombia over Panama. So the other semifinal will be Colombia and Uruguay to determine who will be the Copa America champions. If we head across the pond to Europe, we have four teams left, and it is England, the Netherlands, France, and Spain. Spain defeated Germany in an incredible match last Friday. Game of the week, for sure. Those were the two best teams that I saw play so far in the tournament. It's unfortunate they had to meet in a quarterfinal. Spain over Germany. Then you had France over Portugal in a very lackluster, boring game. No one was really playing well. Mbappe, Ronaldo, no one really showed up. And it's France going on penalties. It was England over Switzerland on penalties. They were down 1-0 again, and another world-class strike, this time by Bukayo Saka. The other game against Slovakia was Jude Bellingham in the last minute to save England. They end up winning it on penalties and are off to the semifinals. And the Netherlands over Turkey 2-1 to advance to the semifinals. Those games will take place this week with the final on Sunday. So that's it with soccer. We'll get back to that later in the show. We have to talk about Formula One, as it was Silverstone and the British Grand Prix this weekend. George Russell started on pole with Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris starting second and third, respectively. The first time ever three British drivers started 1-2-3 at the British Grand Prix. First time ever. It's never happened before. And what we got was Lewis Hamilton's first victory since 2021 in Saudi Arabia, which was over 900 days ago. And Mercedes has won back-to-back races. George Russell won last week. Lewis Hamilton winning this week his home Grand Prix. Unbelievable stuff. And Lewis Hamilton said he wasn't sure if he was going to win again, so this win was maybe the most important one, the one he cherishes the most. That's what he was saying after the race. Here is Lewis Hamilton following the victory yesterday at Silverstone.
Witnessed obviously your whole career in F1 and the achievements you've had, 104 victories now, but I've never seen you quite this emotional after a race.
Yeah, I can't stop crying. I think you know, it's been since 2021. I just, every day getting up, trying to fight, to train, to put my mind to the task and work as hard as I can with this amazing team. And this is my last race here, the British Grand Prix, with this team. So I wanted to win this so much for them because I love them. I appreciate them so much. All the hard work they've been putting in all over these years. I'm forever grateful to everyone in this team, everyone at Mercedes and all of our partners. And then otherwise to all our incredible fans. I could see you lap by lap as I was coming round, and there's just no greater feeling as to finish at the front here.
It seems that the last 2.5 years, it's been 2.5 years since you won a race. I never thought we'd say that about you. You seem to always be able to get a win every single season. You put on a brave face. It's been impressive to see you, but you can tell when you're such a winner, it's tough, right?
It's so tough, I think, for anyone. But I think the important thing is just how you continue to get up, and you got to continue to dig deep even when you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, there's definitely been days between 2021 and here where I didn't feel like I was good enough or whether I was going to get back to where I am today. But the important thing is I had great people around me continuing to support me, my team, every time I turn up and see them putting in the effort that really encouraged me to do the same thing. And otherwise, my fans, when I see them around the world, they have been so supportive. So a big, big thank you to everybody back at the factory, everyone here. I love you guys and God bless you.
That was Lewis Hamilton following a historic win, a ninth time winning the British Grand Prix for him. But if you know where Mercedes was over the last 2 years, that is a huge win for them and puts them back in a little bit into the constructors' picture. Obviously, Red Bull and Max Verstappen still miles ahead. He finished second. So it was Hamilton, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Carlos Sainz, the top five. George Russell had to retire the car, which was a big disappointment. And McLaren had the race there for a minute, but a bit of a strategic blunder on when to bring in the car to the pits. And the weather didn't help. And even before the race, we had Jeremy Clarkson, who, for you Top Gear fans, is a big F1 fan. He said, if the rain's a factor, watch out for Hamilton. He's a veteran. He's raced a lot in these conditions. He's used to them. And sure enough, he was dead on. Hamilton, Verstappen, Norris, Piastri, Sainz, like I mentioned, the top five. All right, to Wimbledon. And we had some crazy matches this week. We had Carlos Alcaraz on the ropes against Francis Tiafoe, winning in five sets. He follows that up with a great performance, a four-set victory over Humbert from France. He is off to the quarterfinals, where he will meet American Tommy Paul. That'll be tomorrow around 9:15 a.m. But the match everyone's looking forward to is Jannik Sinner against Daniil Medvedev, 8:30 a.m. That is the first quarterfinal to take place. And if we look, we have Novak Djokovic and Holger Rune today for spot in the quarterfinals. Taylor Fritz with an unbelievable comeback against Alex Zverev. He was down two sets, wins the next three. He takes down the number four seed from Germany, 4-6, 6-7, 6-4, 7-6, 6-3 to advance to the quarterfinals. Lorenzo Musetti, he's on to the quarterfinals. And Alex de Minaur into the quarterfinals as well. Novak Djokovic is the last one to play his round of 16 match against Holger Rune. Like we said, that should start around an hour and 15 minutes or so. So that should be a good match. Over to the ladies' side of the bracket, we had a huge upset last night. Huge upset last night. The number two seed, Coco Gauff, falling in straight sets to Emma Navarro from the United States, the 23-year-old, taking down the world number two, 6-4, 6-3. And that's a surprise. Over the weekend, we had Iga Swiatek and Coco Gauff, the top two seeds and the two heavy favorites, losing on the weekend. And we got a lot of good matches coming up the next few days here at Wimbledon. We have Ostapenko, Rybinka, Svitolina, all moving on to the quarterfinals. Not to mention Italian Jasmin Paolini will take on Emma Navarro. Looking forward to that match as well. Not done yet. We still have Danielle Collins on court right now. She dropped the first set 7-5 to Barbora Krejcikova, who won the French Open a few years ago. And she's had a bit of a slide since. She gets back in the Wimbledon as the 31 seed. A 31 seed. You always hate when that happens. They have a player of that caliber fall down a bit. But she's making up for it. What a tournament she's putting on right now. She takes the first set, 7-5, over the 11 seed Danielle Collins for a spot in the quarterfinals. So that's what it's like at Wimbledon. Next show, we'll talk about the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. If we can get Sinner, Djokovic, and Alcaraz all in the semifinals, I would love that. I'm not sure. I feel like it might be Alcaraz, Sinner again in a semifinal. I need to see the draw, but it feels like they always play in semifinals because it's always Alcaraz or Sinner as the one seed, and then Djokovic is the two seed, and then one of them is the three seed. And I feel like they always meet in the semifinals. They met in the semifinals at Indian Wells this year. They met at the semifinals of the French Open, Alcaraz winning both meetings. It looks like we might be heading there again. I just want to check and make sure that's true, because I would really like to see a final of that. But Novak Djokovic is still around. Yeah, no, they'd meet in the semifinal. It would be Sinner Alcaraz in the semifinal. Damn. All right. Still, we'll take it any chance we get. I'm not overlooking Tommy Paul or Daniil Medvedev. Medvedev loves grass. But Sinner and Alcaraz are just playing out of this world this year. Out of this world. So, it looks like... I'm not counting out Daniil Medvedev at all. Remember, everyone wanted Djokovic-Alcaraz for the US Open Final last year, and Medvedev beat Alcaraz. I remember a few years ago, we wanted Djokovic to win all four majors in a year. Medvedev spoiled the party and won the US Open. So, it happens. He kind of plays the spoiler a lot. To the NBA, we missed out on a lot of NBA news over the last 2 weeks because July 1st was free agency, and we had Paul George signing a huge deal with the Philadelphia 76ers, $212 million over 4 years to join Philadelphia. They have a nice little crew there. We'll get into that later in the show, see if or the Sixers are the number one threat to take down the Celtics. We also had Klay Thompson join the Dallas Mavericks. We had a whole bunch of news in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan going to Sacramento. In the NHL, we had huge news. We had Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, everyone heading to Nashville. We had Lindholm and Zadorov going to Boston. We had Tanev and Oliver Ekman-Larsson and a whole bunch of other players going to Toronto. It was crazy free agency. Bertuzzi and Teravainen back to Chicago. We'll get into all that over the next 45 minutes or so here on the Tommy John Show. And just a breaking news report right now. Sidney Crosby and the Penguins nearing a new deal. Everyone's speculating Crosby won out because the Penguins aren't going in the right direction. Seems like he's a loyal guy and wants to end his career in Pittsburgh because the Penguins and him are coming close to a new multi-year extension. So when we come back, we'll talk about some Copa America and Euro Cup soccer, as well as NFL win totals. We did the AFC last show. We have the NFC today. And, of course, we'll discuss free agency in the National Basketball Association and the NHL. I am Tommy Lane from the Tommy John Show, back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Have you just arrived in NDG? Do you want to learn French? Are you looking for a job? Would you like to get to know your neighbors better? Since 2012, Bienvenue à NDG has been welcoming people newly settled in the neighborhood by offering support to orient themselves, integrate, and feel at home. Supported by the NDG community, Bienvenue à NDG is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to facilitate the integration of immigrant persons into the community life of Notre-Dame-de-Grâce, as well as into the host society, and to promote intercultural relations. Our services are free, and we can serve you in more than 20 languages. Join our community. Feel free to visit our website, bienvenuendg.ca, and make an appointment with our integration counselors, in partnership with the Government of Quebec.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
And half the iconic sons of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLR 1690 a.m. with your host, Remy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV! The Lake Charles, Louisiana, little Bessie girl I once knew. And she told me just to come on by if there's anything that she could do. Up on Cripple Creek, she sends me if I spring a leak. She mends me, I don't have to speak. And she defends me a drunkard's dream if I ever did.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. Forgot to mention Major League Baseball, too. The Blue Jays actually winning a series this weekend out in Seattle. They took the last two games. They're 8.5 out of the wild card. I mean, not a good spot to be, but the amount of talent they have on that roster. know, you just got to get into the playoffs and see what happens. The Red Sox taking 2 of 3 from the Yankees. They are only 4.5 back of them now. They're 7.5 back of the Orioles. I know that's a bit of a long shot, but they are in a wild card spot. Right now it's Cleveland, Baltimore, Seattle leading their respective divisions. The Yankees, Twins, and Red Sox are the wild cards. You have the Royals and the Astros, 1.5 and 3.5 games back, are the really main threats. In the National League, the Phillies still leading the way in the East. You have the Dodgers in the West, the Brewers in the Central, the Braves, Cardinals, and Padres all in playoff positions in the wild card in the National League. The Diamondbacks, Mets, 2 games back. The San Francisco Giants, 3.5 games back. Everyone thought when they brought in Blake Snell, he would be the difference maker. He hasn't pitched that well for the Giants, which is a bit of a surprise. But still, we have a lot of baseball left. Even the Pittsburgh Pirates, 4.5 games back of the last wild card spot. Then you get teams like Colorado and Miami who are just out of it. 15 games back of a wild card. Not good. So, like I mentioned, a week ago, today was Canada Day. Happy Canada Day to you all. Happy belated Canada Day. And we had free agency in the NBA and the NHL, but I just quickly want to talk about the NHL for a bit. So there's a lot of huge moves. Obviously we had Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea, all signing in Nashville. Those were what, 3 of the top 5 free agents available. Nashville's going all in, and they realize, you know, Nashville is a place people want to play right now. It's an up and coming city. It's a blast. Every person I talk to who goes to Nashville say it's their one of their favorite spots. If you listen to players on podcasts and they ask what's your favorite city on the road, it's always like Vegas and Nashville. Everyone loves Nashville on Broadway Street. Everyone loves it. Country music, everything. It's just a vibe down in Nashville. And also, let's not act like the taxes don't play a big factor as well. Watching the free agency, whatever, special on TSN, they brought up the graphic of recent Stanley Cup champions, and obviously you had Florida, you had Vegas, the Colorado, but then you had Tampa winning too. And they said, you look at that list of the last 5 Stanley Cup champions, 4 of them are from states with 0 state income tax. 0. Florida, there is none. Nevada, there's none. And there's other states, too, I'm saying, of the last Stanley Cup champions. And the whole time, they are complaining on TSN, saying this is ridiculous. And okay. It's a factor. There's some things we can and cannot control. Now, I don't know what teams are going to argue when the new CBAs come out, what the players' associations are going to want, what owners are going to want. But to act like the NHL is going to do adjusted money so other teams have a chance, like, this is getting ridiculous. Each team in each state or province have their own benefits. Nashville and Vegas and Florida and Tampa Bay, yes, there's not, the taxes are, what, 0? Close to it for state income tax. And that's what their whole argument was. But let's not act like those teams were suffering for a while the other big markets were thriving. The Panthers, for my whole childhood, were a literal joke. Terrible team. I mean, Aaron Ekblad is on their team because he was the number 1 overall pick because the Panthers were so bad and no one was at the games. But there's different factors for each market. Some players want to play in the sun and the sunshine, and some want to play for a historically great club and for the history. There's different factors. I mean, Vegas and Tampa, Nashville, they don't have the history of a Toronto, of a Montreal, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, New York, You tell me there's no big players want to sign there? Panarin signed in New York. He said he wanted to play for one of the great hockey teams. Tavares signed in Toronto. Matthews re-upped in Toronto. He could have hit free agency. So there's different factors. Yes, and they were drafted. Well, Matthews was drafted by Toronto, likes Toronto. Okay, fair. But to act like we got to make it all even because of this tax structure, and the only reason people are going there is for tax. No, that's ridiculous. Now, I think what their better and bigger issue is the LTIR, when you have a player sit out the whole year saying they're injured, and then when the playoffs starts, it doesn't count to the cap, and they join. That's a bigger issue. I understand teams getting mad about that. But to argue that, oh, it's tax-friendly or they want to sign there, I get that. But to act like the league's going to do something about that is crazy. It's just one of the factors in playing in that market. There's different advantages in every market. Look at California for taxes. People still sign there because they want to live in LA or in San Jose or in Anaheim. People want to do it. They want to live in the warm weather. There's a lot of taxes. Okay, fine. I don't care. I want the warm weather. Tavares could have signed in Tampa Bay or Nashville probably at the time or in L.A. What did he decide to do? No, I want to play for the Leafs, my hometown team, one of the original six teams. You tell me Tyler Bertuzzi couldn't sign in L.A.? I know he's not the same level of free agent as some of the other ones. Yes, there's different advantages. I know. But it's not going to change. It's not. It just isn't. I don't know what more to say. Come on. They were just complaining about it the whole time, saying it's not fair, it's not fair. Well, come on. These teams have been all. When has Nashville been good? They went to a final once. Florida just won their first cup 2 seconds ago. Vegas has been around for 6 years. There's going to be ebbs and flows. Vegas went all in to win that Stanley Cup. They traded, Suzuki away to get Pacioretty. That didn't work. Then they flip around and trade Pacioretty. They gave up, Alex Tuch and a bunch of draft picks for Jack Eichel. They go all in for Noah Hanifin. They're trying to win now. They realize the window to win for Vegas is now, and they're going all in. But down the eventually, it's going to catch up with them. I'm not saying it's not worth it. They got a Stanley Cup out of it. They do it again. And they feel like they have a responsibility to make the Vegas Golden Knights relevant, grab the fan base right away so they can be successful and people fall in love with hockey. Very smart game plan. But eventually, down the line, they have no draft picks. No really young talent at all. They went all in for these 27 to 33-year-old guys to win a cup now. They won a cup. They'll be competitive for another 4 years, three, 4 years. And eventually it's going to catch up with them because they had no top-end draft picks. They're going to have no salary cap because you have people like Eichel and Hanifin and you name it on these huge contracts. Thomas Hertl, Mark Stone on these huge deals. They're going to have no salary cap space. I don't care about the tax structure. And they're going to be SOL, pardon my language. It's just the way it goes. How about Edmonton? Edmonton were in the finals. Is Edmonton a huge destination for free agents? Maybe because McDavid and Draisaitl play that people want to play with them. But to live, not really. Winnipeg was a playoff team. And if you were to pull players where they want to play, Winnipeg, I think, would pull near the bottom, maybe the bottom. I mean, the only people, I'd say, in Canada would say, you know what, I could, in the winter, I could live in Florida or Anaheim or Nashville. It's just where the cities are. I understand because they want these big free agents and they don't want to sign there for whatever the reason. And a lot of it is the media. The media is not as harsh and they don't care as much in Florida and in Nevada and in Nashville. Where in Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver, there they're going to care. It's going to be all in the headline. Look at this. Toronto have baseball, basketball, and NHL. And if you turn on the radio, it's all Leafs, all the time. All day, last week, you had the Raptors signing Scotty Barnes. You have the Jays. Guerrero's hitting out of his mind. I know they aren't winning a ton of games, but still, baseball is on. And all they were doing on TSN, well, is Tanev a true number one defenseman? It's all they care about in Toronto is the Maple Leafs. All they care about in all the other Canadian markets is hockey and their team. And a lot of players don't want that. That's another factor. To act like it's just a tax issue and they got to change the whole structure because some states have zero income tax is crazy. It's crazy. And it's not the sole reason. We saw Tavares sign up in Toronto. We've seen other big free agents, Panarin signing in New York. Remember Dubois, before he got traded, signed in L.A. We've seen big free agents sign in other key markets. And name, really, the huge free agents who signed in those in Tampa Bay. What, Jake Guentzel? Think about it. They drafted Kucherov. They drafted Stamkos. They drafted Palat or Hedman. You name it. They drafted all these guys. Where's the big outside free agent they signed? Was just now, Jake Guentzel, really, drafted Vasilevsky. Now, you look at Florida, okay, where was the huge free agent signing? That they re-signed Reinhardt, and he couldn't have gotten a bit more? But if the Panthers were a terrible team, Reinhardt wouldn't have signed there. They traded for Tkachuk, they drafted Barkov. They drafted Ekblad. They traded for Reinhardt when people thought he was a bust. Traded for Sam Bennett. They were grown. They had a vision, and they went out. They didn't sign him in free agency. They drafted or traded for them because they believed in them. And now they got a good team, and people want to stay on a good team. If the Panthers were the worst team in the NHL, do you think people would still sign there? No. They wouldn't. Remember everyone said Panarin was going to sign in Florida? Panarin's like, are you nuts? The team stinks. Now they're very good now, but at the time when he was a free agent 4 or 5 years ago, the Panthers weren't that good. But what they got the right GM in Bill Zito. He made good moves. They had the players in place, and they wanted to get over the top, trades for Matthew Tkachuk, and these players like Bennett and Reinhardt and others, and Barkov was there, and he's always been elite. You just have these players there, and they blossom, and they win a Stanley Cup. And a year before, they were in a cup final. But who really, besides Bobrovsky, and they just needed a goalie, and they threw an obscene amount of money at him, was the big free agent signing? I don't know. People act like Reinhardt was going to leave. Why would he leave? Well, we got his cup. He's going to get the bag. They were still going to pay him. What's the difference between $8.7 million and $9.3 million to a guy like that over 8 years to go on a worse team? There's advantages and disadvantages in every market. And to act like this whole tax thing is the reason why these teams are dominating. No, maybe it's because they were built the right way. It's always these markets complain. It's Toronto complaining. It's Montreal complaining. I don't see the Rangers fans weren't complaining. You know why? They got a damn good team. And they're like, we were a few games away from beating the Panthers. Let's go. They weren't complaining. Toronto, maybe instead of complaining, why don't you make adjustments? I know you brought in Tanev, and I know you brought in Ekman Larson, but how many times are you going to bring the core four back? It's been 7 years of this. Why don't you make a move? Bill Zito made a move, brought in, he traded Huberto, who had 115 points, was loved by the fans, was drafted by Florida, brought up as a Panther, had the most points ever for a Panther in franchise history. And what did Bill Zito do? We're not good enough. We won the President's Cup, but we got stomped on by Tampa. I want a gritty forward. I want Matthew Tkachuk. Trades for Tkachuk. Cup final. Wins the Stanley Cup. Those teams are gutsy. Vegas made a final and said, we're not good enough. We need an elite center. They go trade for Jack Eichel. These teams went for it and act like it was just because of a tax structure is ridiculous. You know what you can get for a Mitch Marner or a William Nylander or pick your poison? Obviously, no, Matthews isn't going anywhere. But you know what you can get for one of those two wingers? A lot. And maybe you can get a gritty forward who can help you in the playoffs. Because you're going to make the playoffs regardless, and maybe the Leafs don't care. And maybe Montrealers and Ottawa fans and whoever in Canada don't care. But it's getting ridiculous. The only reason they're good is because players want to sign there because of the tax structure. And Sam Reinhart signed for 8.5 instead of 9.3 to stay in Florida. Give me a break, man. It's a joke. Those teams, Reinhart, no one wanted Reinhart, really. What was his numbers in Buffalo? Come on, man. Think about it. All those teams I mentioned, Tampa made a big swing. They traded, what, they got in Sergachev. They brought in all these guys. They brought in Ryan McDonagh. They brought in Savard for a year. They made moves to get over the top. Florida literally traded a 115-point player to get better. They traded for Sam Bennett. They traded for Reinhart. They traded for Tkachuk. They went for it. And then, those, guess what? Those players feel like, you know what? They believed in me. And now we've won. I'm going to stay there. Maybe that's a reason, too. Never crosses any of those other GM's minds. Leafs fans complaining, oh, it's a tax structure. No, why don't you build your team better? And I don't want to hear about, oh, tax structure. And then they're going to bring out the numbers that they pay for their players. Well, we had to give Matthews 13.5. We had to give Nylander 11.5 to stay. We had to give Marner $11 million to stay. Why don't you grow some stones and tell them, hell no, I'm not paying you that. Are you nuts? The Creed, come on. I bet Florida went to Reinhart, said, look, the most we can give you is 8.6 or whatever he signed for, 8.7. That's the most we can give you per year. Take it or leave it. But if you go above that, we're not paying it for you. I'm sorry. And we'll get someone else to do with the play. And he signed. I'm telling you. They can. I can't get over, man. It's just crazy. These markets went all in to win. And they win, and players appreciate that, and they re-sign. And in teams who don't, especially in Toronto and other markets, the reason I'm using Toronto just because TSN always talks about the Leafs, and it's always the Leafs fans complaining. It's no better in Montreal. It's no better in Philadelphia or markets like that, Boston. I'm a Bruins fan. I hate Florida. They've knocked us out of the playoffs 2 years in a row. I'm not complaining. I know why they're staying. You can say taxes and the weather. Okay, fine. Or maybe it's a damn good hockey team and the GM showed faith in them. Went out and got them. You don't think Tkachuk appreciated them going all in for him? He wanted out of Calgary. And what did he say? He's like, oh, he had a bunch of teams on his list. It wasn't just Florida. He had New York on his list. He had Boston on his list. He had other teams on his list. St. Louis, Dallas, just other teams on his list. Florida went out and got him. And guess what? He's signed long term. He's like, I appreciate that. Montour was a nobody. He said he won his cup. He's like, I want to get paid. What did Florida do? They said, no, we're not paying you. Go find it somewhere else. He moves on to Seattle. Oliver Ekman-Larsson played unbelievable down the stretch for Florida. Unbelievable in the playoffs. He wasn't that in Vancouver. It wasn't like that in the end in Arizona. He does that in Florida, and he's like, I want to get paid. What Florida say? No. This is our number for you. Take it or leave it. And he said, okay, I'll go somewhere else. Goes to Toronto. So it's not always, not like they re-signed everyone. They just have endless cap space, and people are playing. It's not like Reinhardt signed for $2 million. $1.5 million. No, he still signed at what, 8.7? Come on. It's crazy. Those teams are just run well, and they will go for it. And if they make a mistake, they'll acknowledge it, and then they'll move on. Toronto hasn't acknowledged that the Big Four is a mistake. And giving, what, $11 million, 11.5 to Nylander, 11 to Marner, 11 to Tavares, and what, 13 to Matthews. So how much is that? Over $40 million, over $45 million. Half the cap to four players is not a good recipe for success. I think we can agree on that. But they haven't acknowledged it. Just something to sit on. This cap thing is such a joke. Such a joke. Philadelphia going all in. They got Paul George, 4-year deal, $212 million. The Sixers are close to Boston, at least on paper. If you take the three best players on Philly versus the three best players on Boston, you got an MVP in Embiid. You got a blossoming superstar in Maxey. You got Paul George. Who's Boston's three best players? You have Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And pick your poison on who the third best is. Is it Porzingis? Is it Drew Holiday? Is it Derek White? Seriously, who's the third best player in the Celtics? I don't know. But what do the Celtics have? Depth. They have depth. Brown, Tatum, who are both locked up now, like I said. Porzingis is locked up. They just locked up Drew Holiday. They just locked up Derek White. And we can go down the roster. You still have Al Horford. I mean, there's five. That's five guys off the top of my head. And they just drafted the shooter from Creighton who said he's going to play. You still have Pritchard. You still have other players. After that, for Philly, you have, what, Maxey? Embiid, who can't stay healthy. Paul George, who, I mean, at least was healthy this year, but he's had injury troubles in the past. That's it. Boston can go 6, 7, 8 deep. Sam Hauser. There's other guys for the Celtics who come off the bench and give you the 9 points, 8 points, good defense. We'll give time for the big boys to rest, and then we'll be fine. Do I respect Philly going all in? Absolutely. It shows that they're caring, shows the fan base that they're trying to win. Do I think it puts them over the top? No. I don't. Dallas getting Klay Thompson, I like that move. You can never say no to more three-point shooting, and he plays still solid defense. Is he the 36 points in a quarter, whatever the hell he scored, 33 points in a quarter like he was 5, 6 years ago? No. Is he the player that was in the NBA Finals 2 years ago? No. But he's still a respectable NBA shooter, above average three-point shooter, and can still play some defense. And I don't know if he's going to start for them or he's going to come off the bench, but they're giving him $50 million. You know, he'll do what they'll say. But Luka and Kyrie run that show, and they just need some shooters and defenders around them. Klay Thompson fits that mold perfectly. So I like that pickup as well. When we come back from the break, we'll talk some Euro Cup and Copa America soccer, as well as my win totals for the NFC. We did the AFC last week. This week we got, did the AFC 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever we had the show, and we're going to do the NFC today. Back after this quick word from our sponsors on the Tommy John Show.
La 38e édition du Festival international du d'Afrique vous offre 6 jours de concerts et activités gratuites pour toute la famille du 16 au 21 juillet. Rendez-vous au parterre du quartier de spectacle et sur l'esplanade tranquille. Au programme, plus d'une centaine de concerts et animations, des ateliers de danse, des DJ sets et bien plus encore. Aussi, ne manque pas le marché Tombouctou et les promenades de saveurs. Et ce n'est pas tout, les concerts en salle continuent jusqu'au dimanche 21 juillet. Programmation sur festivalnudafrique.com.
Check out Chop Spins and Remixes every Sunday from 12 to 1 with your host Noel on the Bones.
Back here in the Tommy John Show. Just as we were doing that NHL segment, Novak Djokovic took the first set over Holger Rune, 6-3. And the second set has just started. 1-0 Rune, but they're on serve. Djokovic serving now. So 6-3 the first set to Novak Djokovic, the number 2 seed. Looking to join Carlos Alcaraz, Jannik Sinner, and a whole bunch of others in the quarterfinals. Taylor Fritz, what a comeback. I still can't believe that. Down 2 sets to Zverev today, pulling that one out. All right, so Copa America, Canada, something to do. The opportunity to do something very, very special. I don't think people realize. This was a country, 3 years ago, who hadn't been to a World Cup in, 30-something years. Didn't even score a goal in the World Cup when they were there. Never been to a Copa America. Just a dumpster fire of a soccer country. And in that time, we've qualified for the World Cup, played 3 matches in a World Cup, scored a World Cup goal, won the bid along with the U.S. and Mexico to host the World Cup, and got into a Copa America. And now we're into a semifinal of a Copa America. This is all in the last 3 years. Think about that. From a country that couldn't... I remember watching SportsCenter highlights, us losing to Honduras, 6-0. That's how bad Canada was at soccer. Just 7 years ago, 8 years ago. I remember watching those highlights on Jane Dan, and they're just this is hard to watch. But we have to show the highlights anyway. And it was just them getting trounced by the very countries we are now beating. What do you think? We lost 6-0, whatever, 7-0 to Honduras a few years ago. 8 years, maybe not a few, 8 years ago. Honduras doesn't make the Copa America. They're not that big of a country. They don't do it. We definitely wouldn't have beaten or tied Chile or Peru or beaten Venezuela. That would have been so far away. And yet, here we are. Playing the World Cup champions and Copa America champions for a spot in the Copa America final. That's where Canada is. All, what, 18? Oh, my God. It's been, I was going to say, what, since 2018 when they hired Herdman? 2019? And then Herdman leaves to go to TFC. We bring in Jesse Marsh. And here we go. Canada Soccer. Leading Sports Center. This is crazy. Think about what's happened. Qualified for a World Cup. Playing in a World Cup. Scoring a World Cup goal. Winning a bid to host the World Cup along, I know, with two other countries, but hosting World Cup games, qualifying for a Copa America, being in the semi-finals of a Copa America in the last 3 years. That's not too shabby. Now, are they heavy underdogs against Argentina? Absolutely. They're the number one team in the world. One defending World Cup champions, defending Copa America champions, won Copa America I don't know how many times, three World Cups. Okay, we understand that. Best player of all time on their team. Okay, yes, we got that. But we got nothing to lose. We've accomplished, I don't want to say we've accomplished enough, but if we lose to Argentina tonight, I'm sure every Canadian is holding their head up high saying, you know what, we made the semifinals in our first ever Copa America and lost to the defending champions and the world champions. That's not too bad. And that can push the program forward. So what is Team Canada going to play like? Probably with nothing to lose. Argentina have all the pressure. You know, they're the defending champions of the World Cup and the Copa America. They're going to have it. I know all their fans are going to be there. All the Messi fans are going to be there. I understand that. But Canada should embrace it. Give it a shot. They didn't play them that poorly the first game. They had several chances to score in the first half of the opening group stage game in Atlanta against Argentina. So it's not impossible. And in tournament soccer, I don't know how many games have gone the penalties so far. Both the Euros and Copa America have been really poor with like scoring goals in open play. How many penalty shootouts? France, Portugal went to a penalty shootout. England, Switzerland went to a penalty shootout. What, when Portugal beat Slovenia, wasn't that a penalty shootout? Canada beat Venezuela in a shootout. Argentina beat Ecuador in a shootout. Uruguay beat Brazil in a penalty shootout. So it's not impossible. You get them the penalties and anything's possible. But I think Canada's going to play open and quick and play with nothing to lose. Because they genuinely have nothing to lose. Next week, we're going to talk about what happened for Copa America and the Euro Cup. Yes, me, Spain's winning it right now. They look incredible in the Euro Cup. They play France, who France and England were the two heavy favorites coming in. And if you were to tell me before the tournament we get a France-England final, I'd be like, let's go. That's going to be awesome. But the way both these teams have played, I don't want to see it at all. I'd rather watch grass grow. England was so much talent. France was so much talent, and they're playing so negatively, so defensive. Gareth Southgate, I don't know what he's doing, playing players out of position. His teams have been done. They've been down 1-0. They need just spectacular individual efforts by the talented players they have to save them. Like Bellingham scoring a bicycle kick to tie the game. Are you kidding me? Bukayo Saka, left foot outside the box. Perfect shot to tie the game. The force extra time, are you kidding me? Just moments of brilliance from England by their players. It's not because of Gareth Southgate, who may be one of the worst managers I've ever seen. Give any good manager that England squad, it's an all-star team, they should be running away with the tournament. Running away. But here they are in the semifinals. England, Netherlands, France, Spain. I think England's just so lucky they're going to get into the final and get thrashed by Spain. That's my prediction. All right, so NFC, we did the AFC a few weeks ago. We're doing the NFC now. for the last 5 minutes. Like I mentioned, we're using FanDuel, so these are real over-under values. And I'm going to tell you if I think this team's going to win more than their over-under or less than their over-under. And when training camp opens in a few weeks, guess what? We're going to be doing our official 1.0 The Tommy John Show predictions. We always do it training camp and then halfway through the season. And then right before the playoffs is when we do it. So here we go. Our over-unders. The Tommy John Show edition. The National Football Conference. So why don't we start off with the New York Giants, whose over-under is at 6.5. If you look at the Giants, I love their front seven. They just got Brian Burns in the offseason. They have Dexter Lawrence. They have Kayvon Thibodeau. They have one of the best pass rushers in the league. But that's pretty much all they got. I love Malik Nabers. Great pickup. I'm going under 6.5. The Washington Commanders at 6.5 is interesting. If they can pull off this Brandon Ayuk trade, and you got Terry McLaurin, you got Brandon Ayuk, you got Jahan Dotson. That's a very good receiving court for Jaden Daniels. If they can pull that off, I think 7 wins is possible. But I've never been a huge Dan Quinn fan. I'm going to take the under for right now. If they get Brandon Ayuk, I'll take the over. The Dallas Cowboys. You're going to like this. 10.5. I'm taking the under. They're just not as good as they were. Are they going to make the playoffs? Absolutely. Could they possibly win the NFC East? For sure. But they're just not as good enough team. And to be fair to Mike McCarthy, he's a 12-win coach. Every year they go 12-5 lose, 12-5 lose. I'm going to take the under. But it's close. I think 10-7 is what I'm thinking for them. Philadelphia Eagles at 10.5, I'm going to take the over just because they got much better. They drafted the hell out of their secondary. That was the weakness. It was getting torched at the end of last year. And they added Saquon Barkley, who's going to play for a good O-line for once in his career. I don't think the Eagles win the NFC. But I think they'll win the NFC East. I think they'll win more than 10 games. I'm taking 10.5. We head to the North. The Packers at 9.5. Over. I love what the Packers are doing. Josh Jacobs signing. They have Jordan Love. Love it. The Chicago Bears. Maybe the most interesting one at 8.5. That's a good number. Caleb Williams is unbelievable. It's a good roster. I'm going to take the over. They were a playoff team. Basically, would Justin Fields turn the ball over every 2 seconds last year? So I think they're a 9-8 team. I'm going to take the over. The Detroit Lions at 10.5. I'm going to take the over. The Lions are great. 10.5. Jared Goff, love them. If they stay healthy with that O-line, I'm taking the over. The Minnesota Vikings, 7.5. I'm going to take the under for right now because Sam Darnold's just not good enough. He's not. To the South, the New Orleans Saints, 7.5. That's a good number. I'm going to take the over. I think their defense... No, I'm not. I'll take the under. I'm not a Derek Carr guy at all. The Atlanta Falcons, maybe the most improved team at the quarterback position. 9.5, I'm going to take the over. They're just too talented not to. You add Kirk Cousins to that good roster. Amazing O-line. Bijan, Kyle Pitts, you name it. Drake London, taking the over. Next up, we got the Panthers, 5.5 under. Good God, are they brutal. Maybe that's a bit harsh. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7.5, I'll take the over. Baker, prove he's a gamer, I'm going to take the over. 7.5, I think they can go 8-9, 9-8. Seattle Seahawks at 7.5, I'm going to take the over. Definitely going to take the over. Their defense, they got much better. Geno Smith, they won 9 games last year. I'll take them. The 49ers at 11.5. I'm going to take the over. They're the best team in the NFC, for sure. Last but not least, excuse me, the Rams at 8.5. I feel like that's free money. I'll take the Rams at 8.5, for sure. The Arizona Cardinals, 7.5. I'm going to take the under. So that's it. Just got that in. I'm Tommy Lee for the Tommy John Show. We're back next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk then.
Joyriding in the sky. The blades will make you pay. Thousands.
Yeah, what's up? It's your